When globally known Alexander Pagani relocated his life and ministry to Metro Atlanta several months ago, Jeff Lyle read about it online and thanked God for this move, believing it to be answered to prayer. Little did he know that the answered prayer would land so close to him that it would result in a kingdom connection that is already impacting North Georgia. In today's episode of Mavericks and Misfits, Alexander Pagani and Jeff Lyle sit down to discuss some amazing developments that are beginning to take shape in the region. You won't want to miss any of this discussion.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today's a great day. You may notice we're in a different studio. I'll tell you why in a moment. But for those of you that are catching us for the very first time, we're grateful that you've stumbled upon us. I'm not sure where you're watching right now. Wherever it is, it's a great place because this is going to be a fantastic episode. We started the podcast back in 2020. And here we are coming up on 5 years. So many things have changed in the last 5 years. But the premise for Mavericks and Misfits is that get us rooted and grounded in Christ. No matter what's changing around us, nothing changes. Nothing downgrades, let's say it that way, inside of us. There may be some upgrades, but there are no downgrades. Why? He is our anchor. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's got you today. No matter where you find yourself in life, your king has got you right there in his hand. So why are we in a different studio? I'm not even going to tell you where it is, but it's very close to the other studio. But we're here today because I had an opportunity to really just share the studio space today with a new friend who many of you are going to recognize. I'm here with Apostle Alexander Pagani. And by the hand of God, we've just been able to strike up a bit of a friendship and a little bit of co-laboring that we'll talk about today.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, camaraderie. I love the word. You guys are brand new to the state of Georgia just in the past several months. Talk to us a little bit. I don't think there's anybody that's watching Mavericks and Misfits or listening to the podcast that doesn't know who you are, but pretend they don't. Tell us what you did up
first
in New York.
Me say this, not to interject. Let me ask this question. Are you the Maverick and I'm the Misfit?
I'm going to defer to you. Which one do you want to be for the podcast? Say, I actually think we're both.
I was about to say we're both, you know.
Well, just by very nature, a lot of people, I didn't know this about you. You know, I had seen you, Domino Revival, I had seen you and Come Out in Jesus' Name. Uh-huh. And I just, and please just receive this, you only see what you see. And in those movies, you're just operating in the activity of deliverance a lot.
Right.
And so I just think, okay, he's powerhouse deliverance guy.
Yeah.
Had no idea of your background, had no idea of your theological training, had no idea that you're actually a biblically grounded teacher and not just a powerhouse.
Right.
So you're a misfit just by fact. You kind of came out of some similar territory as I did, which was the world of denominationalism that didn't believe in any of this stuff.
Right. Right.
So now y'all are in New York doing what you're doing, and now you're in Atlanta. Give our listeners just a little bit of a snapshot who you are,
well,
what you've been doing.
Well, first, you know, we did found a church in New York, which is still up and running. It is thriving, amazing church in New York City. Been serving as lead pastor, senior pastor for 20 years. That's what most online community don't know about me. You know, I've been saved for 32 years. You know, I got saved in prison, and I guess in the future we'll do another podcast
that would
and kind
great.
Of get into my testimony. But I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus, you know, got called to the ministry of the word in prison because I had nothing but time, and nothing but time to do it. So fast forwarding, I married a pastor's daughter, which is my wife. She's here in the studio, and her dad founded a church, and he was in the denomination. So the denomination moved him to another church, and I ended up taking over that church. So the goal.
And you were young, right?
We were the youngest pastors. I think we were like 24 or 26, you know. But at that time, this was back in the year 2004. So at the, you know, in New York City, we were the youngest pastors in our denomination, which is Church of God International offices in Cleveland, Tennessee. You know, the New York district. You know, so I took that over. So, long story short, at maybe 2 to 3 years ago in the pandemic, I felt that my time of pastoring was coming to a close because by that time, we had entered more into a fivefold model. So now we're church planting, you know, and the movement is growing. And I felt that my time of pastoring needed to transition into more of an apostolic role and maybe reverse the roles. But COVID hit, and I knew that at that time, this wasn't a good time to retire. I needed to walk my church through that crisis, you know. But I knew that at the end of the crisis, I knew that it was time to retire. Because I'm still an itinerant minister, I'm always in Georgia, either the Atlanta metro area. We're here very, very frequently, you know. And by you know, God ordering our steps, we were able to retire and then relocate here to the Atlanta metro area to establish officially Amazing Church Global, the global headquarters. You know, it's not a church per se, but it would be the headquarters of where most of our church planting will be done. And here we are. And then next thing I know, I'm connecting with you, and we could kind of flesh that out. And we've been here for at least for the last 6-7 months.
So when you say you retire, some people would be like, well, wait a minute. He's retiring, but he's
retiring from pastoring.
Yeah, I was going to say, because
not from ministry.
You are definitely not retired. You are.
If anything, I've been preaching more now since I've been retired than I was before.
Well, let me just tell our viewers and our listeners that one of the things that my wife Amy and I have been praying about for years. Right. We are part of the North Georgia Revival, which you're familiar with, and that's housed in Dawsonville, Georgia. Right. Where for over 8 years they have been in a healing revival, salvation. There have been some deliverances, but they've been very few compared to the amount of physical healings that have been happening. Right. And we started praying, God, the Bible Belt has good salvific kind of messages, a lot of evangelism, fair amount of discipleship down here. Right. And through the North Georgia Revival out of Christ Fellowship in Dawsonville and affiliated churches, we're seeing a lot of physical healings, I mean, documented physical healing, but the missing piece has always been deliverance. And so I would say going back into 2021, Amy and I are praying, we're fasting times and praying, God, where is deliverance? You know, it's not that nobody was getting delivered. It was just that it wasn't part of the move of God here. And so when our paths connected that night, just by the hand of God, I mean, it really was a sovereign kind of just arrangement that he had, you and I sitting next to each other, and those conversations opened up. But I knew in my spirit that night, okay, this has got to be something. There's no way that a guy who's been praying for deliverance to hit the Bible Belt, and especially in the metro Atlanta area, there's no way that this guy is praying that, and I'm standing next to the guy whom God has raised up in this generation to be one of the primary leaders. Right. And so you coming down here is not just important to you know, the ministries you've begun in other places, but we believe that you're sent to the Bible Belt to be...
Well, initially, not to cut you off, but, you know, initially the incentive was obviously our church and relocating and things like that. But here's something that I don't think I've ever told you this. We didn't just come down here. You know, one of the prophets of our house, Jenny Marte, she had a specific dream, and she called me immediately and said, I just had a dream, and she wrote it, she documented it, and we have it documented. She said, God is sending you to the Bible Belt.
Come
I'm not
on,
exaggerating.
Lord.
She said, God is sending you to the Bible Belt. And then she actually gave me the details of it. You know, and she said, they will resist the message at first, but then they will embrace it because it would be totally new to them. And you must go. And and this is how she knew that it was God, because she started crying because she didn't want me to go.
Oh, wow.
She didn't want me to leave, you know. And then she had another dream where she was saw my wife, and then was telling her in the dream, you know, we would hate to see you to go, but you're being sent. You have to go, and everything will be fine. So, you know, like Paul, where he said, I need to go to Rome by way of a dream, God spoke. So it's kind of like us connecting. It's kind of like Ananias and Paul. God is speaking simultaneously at the same time to Ananias about Paul and then about Paul about Ananias. So we kind of came down here with one incentive, which was Amazing Church Global, but then God had a bigger picture.
Yep.
You know, God had a bigger picture, and then it became immensely clear. And then, obviously, we can also kind of get into it. I end up in the
tell our viewers and listeners about that. What happened on the day where you showed up at Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, the home of the North Georgia Revival, where all those healings are taking place?
Right.
Like nobody knew you were coming.
No.
And you show up. Talk about that.
I had been meaning to come for quite some time, you know, but my schedule, you know, didn't allow that to happen. But on one particular day, I just felt, you know what, I want to go. You know, that idea came to me at around 3 p.m. And I was like, oh, man, they start at 5. And I said, it was a Sunday. You know, after Sunday, you go to church, you go home. You're not coming out your house,
right.
You know. Then about 5 o'clock, I get the thought to come. And then I said, well, they already, you know, they're in intercession. I'm not going to be able to get in. 5:20, I texted my wife, and my wife was like, well, if you go, you go. If you don't want to go, just stay home, you know. I just felt impressed, get up and go. Now, earlier that morning, I had been praying, you know, on our way to church, you know, I said, you know, Lord, now that I'm in this new season, I want to maximize my gifting. I love preaching, you know, I love doing what I do, you know, I love, you know, church planting, love those things, but I have a passion. I'm a fivefold teacher. I love to revelate. I love to break the secrets of the kingdom. And I said, Lord, I would like to now in this season use that. Help me get into a scholastic season where I'm able to do it scholastically and focus on teaching, you know, in a school somewhere where I can thrive and with those that are hungry to learn.
And that was the morning.
That morning, earlier that morning, on the way to church. And then I go home and then I get the idea to go to the revival. So I go to the revival, you know, and then I went for worship. I actually went for worship. I needed to just get refreshed a little bit, you know. And then next thing you know, I'm being carried to the front, you know, because Pastor Todd was aware that I was in the house. And then I'm sitting next to you. And then that day, I think the Bishop Johnson. Lance, he says, turn to your neighbor and tell them, you know, to pray for you or something. Yeah. And you were my neighbor.
Yeah.
And then you turned to me midway the message and said, will you be interested, like, in a school thing? And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, the initiation of that, because obviously I didn't know you had been talking to the Lord that morning about wanting to get back into a teaching arena.
Right.
And I saw you because they did Pastor Karen, Dr. Karen Smith, president of Kaneo Ministry Training Center, did a 5-minute kind of shout out about the school welcoming new students.
Right.
And I noticed that you took a picture of the graphics. I just thought, well, if he wants to know more about the school, let me offer him because I help lead at the school. Okay. So that little moment has turned into a cascading series of events, which have culminated in what? Why don't you make the announcement that we've made on a couple of other platforms now? Now, that one moment in time
led to being now hired to be part of the faculty staff professor at the Kaneo Ministry Training Center, with the topic of deliverance and the fivefold and prophetic and, you know, and the believer's authority, you know, particularly when I'm gifted at teaching.
Yes.
You know, we've written best-selling books, you know, so I'm really excited about it. We were like, okay, so it became a little bit more clear, you know, many are the plans of man, but the Lord directs the steps. So my initial thing I'm still doing, and here's also what I prayed, that the teaching in a school wouldn't conflict with what I'm doing. So the day that we will be teaching, I'm home all the time, you know. It just worked out. It just worked out that it can be done, that it could just be done. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Well, and you know what your primary purpose in being sent to Atlanta is. Yeah. And in order to do anything secondary to that, it can't undermine the primary.
Right.
And the fact that the day that we had to open for that year three professorship, and of course, you're doing some year two teaching. We're going to look for ways to get you to year one. A lot of the Mavericks and Misfits viewers and listeners are Kaneo students. So one of the reasons why I wanted you to make that announcement is because there's an overlap there. Yeah. So we're stoked about that. There is
they let the Mavericks in the building.
That's
I joked with you. I said I was going to say something like that.
Yeah,
the Mavericks are running the building
That's
now.
That's right. Sometimes we feel like it's the lunatics running the asylum, but we will not speak that over.
That's a good word.
So
now we're going to update the podcast. Mavericks. Misfits and lunatics.
There we go. So we're really excited about that. Talk to me a little bit, because I think most of our viewers and listeners are going to know you at quite a distance. You're not going to have a relationship with them at this point.
Right.
And so all we knew, and I'll put myself in that category up until a couple months ago, all we knew is, you know, the guy on the screen or the guy on YouTube or the guy doing the podcast, and we knew power. But what would you want people to know about you or your life as a even outside of the role of ministry? If people that misunderstood you or have misunderstood you, who would you like to tell them?
Well,
this is actually who I am. This is what I'm about.
Okay. Well, first, let me say this. Let me just make this statement, and it's probably it's not in line with answering the question. But I'll answer the question. I also want to say that meeting you has been an amazing experience for me. You know, it's one thing to come into a region and you're an outsider, but it's another thing to come into a region and then God sends you a Barnabas that gives you the right hand of fellowship. So, you know, you and Amy have been the Barnabas to me, you know, which will lead to, you know, answering your question, because social media paints a narrative. There's no way around that. you know. And yes, I'm those things. Yes, I'm a maverick by nature. I've always been one, you know. Well, I call it reformer, you know, very reformatory. 100%. But I'm also revelatory. And I think people don't understand that because they only see, you know, the the powerhouse of videos that are out there. But I'm very, you know, reformatory and revelatory. For me, I'm very much grounded in scripture. You know, my success has always been predicated upon Joshua chapter 1. Meditate on the word and you will be successful. You know, I've been 32 years doing this. You know, sometimes they see me on social media and they think that I'm running with a younger crowd. I've been saved 32 years. I know the proper protocols of what makes a healthy ministry. And one of that is, you know, the authority of the word and the authority of the church. You know, I'm submitted under great leadership, you know, and I am submitted to sola scriptura. You know, now there's some nuances when it comes to, you know, interpretations and deliverance. And, you know, I love to explore those things. But I think what people immediately when they meet me, and I've heard this, people say this frequently, is, wow, you're nothing like your videos. Nothing. And I think you also said that to me on our first, you know, brunch that we've had. I think that by the third one, you said, you know, you're nothing like your videos. I can hear, you know, the grounding, you know. And I think, you know, what social media has sort of painted is unregulated wild stallion.
Yeah.
You know, no, really, I'm broken. I'm a broken, you know, if I can use horse as an analogy, you know, I'm a submissive, broken horse that Jesus has broken me, you know, and he rides me. You know what I'm saying? You know, and at times when he, you know, sometimes I gallop, and then other times Jesus is like, I need you to be a war horse now. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I really genuinely love the Lord with all of my heart. I'm very sensitive. I try my best to embody the fear of the Lord. I have a quote that I say all the time, and it's this, and it's a New York slang, and I say this, I ain't going to hell for nobody.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying? So if it's not in the word, I'm not doing it. But I'm also open to, okay, I've never seen that, Lord. I'm not fearful to, I love to explore. Okay, go, let's go for it, Lord. And 9 out of 10 times, it's something beautiful that God is saying, this is the new thing, you know, this is, you know, from glory to glory to glory, you know. And I think that's been my life. My life has been very grounded. You know, it does take me a little bit minute to move because I'm like, where's that in the word? Like, where's that in the word? But once I see the thread, I don't have that fear. I go, okay, Lord, why? Because grace cleans up the mess.
Oh, yeah.
Grace cleans up the mess. You know, and some of the greatest revelations and exploits that the children of Israel did was either through mistakes or they stumbled upon it, not looking for it, you know. So I think, you know, if that's something that I would want, you know, your viewers to see is that when you do get to know me, you know, you realize that. Yeah, the videos, they're true. Like, when point me where the devil is, I'm going to turn into a monster. I'm going to beat the devil down.
Yeah.
But then after that, my wife could tell you, when I go backstage, or even before I get off stage, I get on my knees and I'm weeping.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy. You know, or after I preach, I go up to her and I'll just say, just pray for me, mama. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm still approachable. You know, so I don't let it get to my head. I love the Lord.
Well, I think when I was saying you're nothing like your videos, what I'm saying is you're more than the videos.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're living in a culture where everything is discerned through a 60-second reel,
yes,
a soundbite, right, or, you know, some kind of clip.
Right.
And it's impossible to get to know who an individual is through that stuff, which is why I'm with you. I believe in local churches. You're not just a deliverance minister. You're best-selling author. You've written 3, 4, 5 books. Hey, what is it?
We've written 3 best-selling books on the topic of deliverance, and now the next 3 books will be non-deliverance topics, so we're on our 4th book where we'll be tackling legalism. So.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to read that one. But in addition to this, you're planting churches.
Yes.
Whereas it may not be your primary marketing piece, but where you go brings reformation, which does bring revival.
Right.
So you're being used of God to transform areas. Reformation is probably the thing that my heart beats in rhythm with yours the most on, because the church, he died for the church, as flawed as the church is. You know, you got all these people walking away from the church because the church is flawed. I'm thinking to myself, the church has always been flawed. Read 1 Corinthians, and you got some of the worst things happening in a local assembly, you know, just decades after Jesus ascended to heaven.
Right.
And what's amazing is when you get to the back of the Bible, he's still knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Like he's still saying, if you'll open up, I'll come back in. And so, you know, he never walked away from the church, but you got a lot of people taking the presumed moral high ground. Oh, the church is flawed. Leadership is flawed. We got abusive leadership over here. And we do. And that stuff's got to be dealt with.
Yeah.
It's got to be some radical repentance. But I love the fact that instead of becoming a critic, you remain as a reformer. Critics and reformers see the same thing.
Right.
The critic gets frustrated and bitter and leaves. The reformer says, oh, no, I'm motivated.
Well, the critic becomes a revolutionary. And revolutionaries destroy systems. Reformers enhance systems. So let me just tell your viewers the three R's, because we're talking about it just happens to be spawned based on this. It's first repentance. The repentance leads to reformation. If the reformation is done right, there's sustained revival. Sometimes the church goes from repentance to revival, and then those revivals don't last long. You know what I'm saying? And all throughout history, and I think the Kinnale School has taught, you know, church history in regards to revivals, and they're short-lived, you know. So repentance, you change your thinking. That's what it means, 180. And then the thinking is changed based on reforming your thinking, which means showing you a better way of how to do it. You know, or like we say in modern civilization, working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
That's reformation, you know. And the great thing about reformation is once you learn it, you cannot unreform it.
Yeah.
When you change is different. You change and then you unchange. Mm-hmm. Or you go back.
Yep.
But when something is reformed, there's nothing to go back to.
What's the renewing, being renewed in the spirit of your mind?
That's where it's included. Mm-hmm. When you're renewed, it's like learning how to ride a bike. You cannot forget how to ride a bike. Your mind is reformed. That's what it means, you know, we're being renewed day by day. That's what it means. We're being reformed day by day, which means there's nothing to go back to, you know. But the critic, the criticism will cause them to become a revolutionary where they want to overthrow the system, you know. Those individuals don't last long.
Yeah.
And those revolutions don't last long as well. And then they end up going back to the way it was before, you know. So what God is raising up now is reformers who are like Nazarites, who have the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you something, for those of you that are watching, you know, the church is flawed, but long live the church. Let me say that again. The church is flawed, but if our battle cry can transition, let's say Sola Scriptura was the battle cry of the, you know, of the 1500s or whatever. I think the battle cry of today should be long live the church, regardless of all of the flaws that are there. Jesus is not against an institution that he helped found it. Mm-hmm. He might be grieved with it.
Yeah.
He might be angered by it. He might send some deliverance and clean it up, but he's not anti an institution that he helped pave the way. Why? Because ultimately with all of its flaws, the gates of hell will not prevail against
it. That's right.
See what I'm saying? So the reformer is screaming, long live the church. The revolutionary saying, down with the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's why.
That's a word right there,
yeah,
brother.
So what happens is God fights against revolutionaries. He fights against them.
Mm-hmm.
But God exalts and works with the reformer. Now watch this. I'll say this. You know, it's not called the Protestant Revolution.
Right.
It's called the Protestant Reformation. We're still walking in that.
Yeah.
Reformation provides sustainability. And the sustainability provides legacy. Revolution provides temporary relief. Reformation provides resolve.
Love it.
We fix it. And that's what I believe God sent me here to this region. Obviously, we're going to do Amazing Church Global and the global headquarters and church plant and stuff like that. But regionally, I'm here to come alongside. I'm not the guy to bring the Reformation that no one would dare take. It's a collective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an answer to a prayer, but also I'm receiving a prayer.
Yeah.
That's why I said, you have no idea. My wife will tell you, you know, your friendship, your right hand of friendship, and you, and I could prophesy this as well, you know, if it be a prophecy, you know. If I am a Paul, then you're the Barnabas. And Barnabas and Paul did some great stuff. Without the fight.
I was going to say, let's end better than they did. I don't want to have their ending, but I'll walk that walk with you. I felt that too. I felt like when organically this relationship started happening a little bit, I was like, I know who he is, and this thing's just kind of popped
you
up.
You helped me navigate, because I thought Georgia would not embrace me. Remember, I kept saying, they're not going to like me. They're not going to like me.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Paul did.
Many times you correct me, no, brother, when they get to know you, trust me, they're going to embrace you. You know?
Well, I was talking to your precious wife right before we started filming, and she was asked, what's the difference about being in the South? And she was candid, said, everything moves so much slower than back home in New York. And I think some of it, you were seeing this slowness, and where are the doors that are open? And all I wanted to do at the beginning was reassure you, no, man, this is not a dead end, but it's a slow lane. And now, even since those conversations, things have gained traction and momentum. And so I'm blessed to be a Barnabas in your life. Amen. Now, let me ask this. So you've got a big conference coming up in September. I know that's a ways out, but it's the Asher Conference. Right. I was very interested when you started describing that was about. Honestly, nobody really talks about the tribe of Asher.
Right.
Nobody does, unless you're in an Old Testament studies class. Right. But when you started talking about why y'all went there, I think my viewers and listeners would love to hear a little bit about that.
Right.
And I'm going to encourage them to keep their ears and eyes open when y'all start making that access to that conference available.
Go from the end and then go backwards. Yes, we just finished today finalizing the contract. It's paid for. We are renting the Gas South. A convention center, the arena, for 3 days, August 29th, 30th.
And that's in Duluth, Georgia, right?
In Duluth, Georgia. You know, 29th, the 30th, and the 31st, all 3 days, all day. You know, now, what is the Asher Conference? You know, okay, so one, God told me that our particular network of churches will, if they could be paralleled, it will be paralleled after the tribe of Asher. You know, and one of the things that you're going to find from the tribe of Asher throughout scripture is that all the tribes had some sort of failure, moral failure, or some calamity somewhere except the tribe of Asher. And the Holy Spirit told me that your churches within the network of Amazing Church Global will be marked by the fear of the Lord and no scandals, meaning like nothing that will come to bite them for 30 years, that God would bring me people that will be authentically pure of heart. Because there's one thing that I have maintained, and sometimes obsessively is that, you know, my sanctification, you know what I'm saying? Not perfection, because we're not perfect. Okay, but then not only that, that he would send us and the churches that we will be birthing, you know, which all of them will be called Amazing Church, you know, will be marked by the prophetic utterances given to the tribe of Asher through Jacob, as well as Moses. Mm. And I shared some of those things, and we can kind of break that down without getting too extensive in a Bible study. There's like seven key points, but one of those things was the tribe of Asher will be blessed amongst all their brethren, which means there'll be continuous favor, you know? And even coming out here as an example, look at all the favor that everywhere we go, like immediately, like that's been marked by most of our churches. You know, there's a lot of favor, a lot of things that come to them. But then one of the main prophetic utterances were, the tribe of Asher prepares food fit for kings. Now, I know what that means because I ministered to a king in Nigeria one time when I went to Nigeria, Africa, you know. It's a different ballgame. It's a different set of protocols and a different kind of food, you know, which would mean that
In the king's table.
And this is how your viewers can be able to even connect Daniel and all of that. There's a specific diet. Why? Because kings eat different than others. And it's not, you know, in the church, we're not referring to, you know, inferiority and superiority. No, but we're talking about high-level revelatory things where normally, you know, it won't be the same regurgitated stuff. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, repetition, you know. But things that, revelations that matter, revelations that will feed a king. It's kind of like you're a preacher, and I can say this freely. We hear differently, even when we're listening to other preachers.
Sure.
And you and I know when we are sitting under a teaching that might not necessarily be meaty and weighty. What do? We preach it sometimes better in our head. And that's something we got to work on. All the preachers I watch, you know what I'm talking about. We're like, man, he should have said it like this. Yeah. He should have said it like
that. It's hard to turn that instinct off.
Right. But when you're listening to someone that is giving you food from the king's table, our mind turns off and we're receiving. Mm-hmm. We're just like, oh, whoa. You know, even when we talk, you know, people listen to me and say, hey, wow, the way you articulate yourself, it'll be marked by that. You know, then it also said, you know, the land will be fertile because the land where Asher will be, it will be olive groves, which means they'll be continual. We know what olive and an olive tree represents, the oil and the anointing. But then it says this, they will bathe their feet in oil and new wine.
That's what stuck out. That's Genesis 40:29. When when you were talking about that, it's the bathing their feet, washing their feet in oil.
Right. So that's connected to John chapter 13, where Jesus said, wash each other's feet. So God told us that our network would be a network of churches that will wash the feet of men and women of God that he's anointed, but not wash it with just regular water, wash it with oil, wash it
with
oil.
Do you guys literally do that at the Asher Conference?
No, we don't.
Okay, well, I didn't know. Yeah, I'm thinking, that's going to be an excellent budget for that thing alone.
No, but the washing of the saints' feet in John chapter 13 talks about, it's really a picture of deliverance. I mean, we can take it many ways, but it's a picture of deliverance. And let me show you how this works. Okay, so watch this. So if you, when you're washing someone's feet, you're cleansing their lifestyle, their walk, right? Not only that, but while you're cleaning their feet, your hands get clean.
That's good.
So both the one that's helping and the one receiving, we're both. So watch this. The text doesn't say this, but if I'm bathing your feet with new wine and oil, then I'm also bathing my hands.
That's a good word.
So not only your walk is getting washed with, you know, with the anointing and new levels of glory and things like that, the minister themselves, the work of my hands is also being washed. So there's this, you know, symbiotic relationship of back and forth in the oil. Then it also says this, you know, Moses prophesied to them, one of his last declarative blessings to the tribe of Asher. He said, may your generations and bloodlines be held together with bolts of iron. Mm-hmm. You know, that talks about legacy. You know, iron was probably the most powerful metal element that exists. But iron also represents the kingdom, because Rome was particularly known for their iron, you know what I'm saying, of how they were able to, their weapons and everything was iron. And in Rome was the time where Jesus showed up and he said, the Romans know how to do this because they kingdom knows the concept of kingdom. So every time you see iron, it's also a representation of kingdom and, you know, strength and stuff like that. So these are some of the things that the Lord told us that we were going to do with all of our churches. So every year we gather for the Asher Conference, you know. But what we're doing this year, normally before it was just our network of churches and just us. This year the Lord said, you know, invite everybody that wants to be a part of it. We didn't intend that we were going to do it in a convention center and in a stadium. We just were having a hard time finding a place. And I don't know what came into my oldest son, you know, and he was like, let's make a call. The most we could say is it's beyond our budget and whatever. And then 24 hours later, I signed the contract.
Yeah, speaking of oil, like there's just oil on what you guys are doing. I think y'all had to sit tight for a minute waiting on, you know, you get here, you get moved here, you get unpacked, you got a new address and everything. But it took a minute, right? It took a minute for things. And now that they're moving, they're accelerating at a higher clip. I think I'm glad that you guys are making it open to the public, because I'll say again, I'll go on record again, and we can go back and check this later. And I'll come back in 5 years and analyze this.
Right.
But I think that the Lord has brought your family here, not just you, but your wife is a pastor and a teacher. Yeah. That he's brought you guys down here. He wants to share you with the Bible Belt. That's the word that I hear quite frequently. Right. I'm going to share Pagani. I'm going to share the apostle with the Bible Belt.
Right.
And it's not that, I just think you're the right man for this hour. I actually believe there's probably been other men and women that have been offered an opportunity here in the Bible Belt, similar, and they said no for whatever reason.
Right.
And you guys have said yes.
I think that could be maybe, and maybe the Lord will flesh this out in the future. I think there's something, and it could be, I could be wrong. I think there's something about New York grit.
Yeah.
That I told my wife, I said, let's go for it. And, you know, sometimes, what if it doesn't pack out? What if it does pack out?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's halfway full? Then the cup is halfway full. Like, that's just where my mind is. What if nobody shows up? We went for it.
That's not going to happen, brother. Yeah. By the time September gets here, yeah. And like I'm assuming that's not open for registration or anything.
It's open for registration.
Oh, it already is. So
yeah. So I'll give you the link and you put it in the description of this video. Yeah, it's available. People are already registering. The video went viral of us recording and stuff like that. I'm not going to lie. Let me just also say this. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little scared. You know what I'm saying? I think that's normal. You know what I'm saying?
Fear and trembling's good
but,
for us.
But I'm not fearful.
Yeah.
I'm afraid, but I'm not fearful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I know the Lord. The Lord is ordering our steps. Mm-hmm. You know. So
that's my big clearly. Introduction. I think before we sign off, where can Mavericks and Misfits audience, what's the best way to follow you? I know you got your YouTube channel.
Yeah, YouTube.
Is it just your name? What is the...
I'm actually
subscribed. I don't even know
okay,
the name
so watch it. This. So one of the benefits of having... You know, what's funny is when I was younger, I hated my name. I hated Pagani and the name itself.
From a white Southerner, we longed for names like I had two. My whole name is two syllables, Jeff Lyle. My whole name only has two syllables, very vanilla.
You know, I didn't like my name, you know. And then when I got saved and then God threw me in the ministry and things began to take off, I love the name God gave me because when you type my name up, I show up.
Yeah.
There's only one Alexander Pagani. Literally, if you know, you look up. Now, if my name was like Jose Martinez, nothing wrong with Jose Martinez. Or if my name was Jesus,
yeah.
If you're a million Jesus, nothing wrong with Jesus if you're Jesus watching me. Alexander Pagani, boom. You could find me. But really, you could go to alexanderpagani.live.
Okay.
Alexanderpagani.live. But also, just YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, literally Alexander Pagani Live. And the links for the Asher Conference, you know, are there.
Okay.
And we're going to have everything, you know. My covering is going to be there. My spiritual father, Apostle Hugh Daniel Smith, you know. An amazing man of God, you know. I will be there. My pastors, most of the sessions, I think maybe almost all of them, will be taught by some of our apostles and pastors and prophets that are within all of our churches.
Yeah, so it's not a show. It's equipping. It's the meat. It's the deep stuff.
So there'll be panels. There'll be mass deliverance, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then there'll be sessions where we'll be just tackling pastors. There'll be also sessions where we'll be, you know, dealing with, you know, how to brand in social media as a church, you know, things that matter for this generation.
Yeah, and then functionality, practical stuff.
And then also the heavy thrust isn't, because I really believe the Lord told us, the mass, you know, this event that you're doing, you know, at the stadium, you know, or rather the convention center, it will also be a dragnet for you. I'm going to bring those who are in transition and not a member of any church. Yeah. I'm going to bring them to you, and then your community of Amazing Church Club will be born there to be able to.
Yeah, there'll be existing churches and this is taking place in Metro Atlanta in September. But there's existing churches. I've been here long enough that have good ground level stuff, but they don't have any covering. They don't have any apostolic investment in them. Right. You're gonna pick up, not only are y'all planting new churches through the network, but you're gonna pick up churches that don't have any covering. Yeah. Before we get off, also June 12th and 13th, Lord help me, I think those are the right dates.
13th and 14th.
Thank you. 13th and 14th in Christ Fellowship in Dawsonville, Georgia, North Georgia Revival.
Yes, sir.
You and some other guy are doing something. tell us a little bit about that.
Isaiah Saldivar.
Okay. So what's
happening? Gonna be hosting, I believe, for the first time ever. The Deliverance Conference, both Isaiah Saldivar and myself, Friday night, Saturday morning, two sessions in the morning, and then Saturday evening, and we're just literally going to give the devil a black eye, you know, so we're looking, so for those of you that are watching, just show up, you know, bring everybody that needs deliverance. We're not holding back. Not only do I believe this is needed, but I believe also it's historic. I believe it's historic, and it's the beginning of a ripple effect that will cause a tsunami. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's just for 2 days, a statement will be made for the region. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I don't like to be lofty in who I am, but you know, I'm just a John the Baptist. That's how I view myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not that guy. But I am that guy that will inspire the guys that will continue to do that. You know, you can't usher in something unless a highway is made. And this is why I'm a forerunner.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, it's funny because I got the beard too.
Yeah,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? So it just kind of fits.
You need some camel hair and some locusts.
I don't know about the camel hair and the locust part. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I love honey though. I love honey. You know, But and then Isaiah, you know, is a you know, one thing that I can say about my friend Isaiah, you know, we talk almost every day, you know, all the demons that I talk every day in group chat, you know. He is an authentic, bona fide evangelist.
Yeah.
He has an anointing for awakening. And let me tell you something. When I first met him, even I wanted to come up to the altar call and get saved all over again, literally. You know, so he has that thing of awakening, you know, the body of Christ, you know, to revival. But not only that, but to deliverance. And in the morning, we're going to be doing some impartation and activation and one-on-one. And in the evening, you know, I'll be closing it out. You know,
my guess is this will air, what we're filming today will air right before that conference. My guess is if there are spots that are still open, there are very few. I want to encourage all of my viewers, all my listeners.
Even it's if almost you don't, sold out. It's yeah, almost sold out.
If you don't believe in this stuff, because a lot of Christians that believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they believe and they're not cessationists, but when it comes to deliverance, people just get awkward. Right. I would say if you don't believe in it, come. You want to come to pick it apart? We still want you to come. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people that God will use in your life that you may have one mindset about something, and God will put the right people at the right time in your life to at least get you to consider, maybe I was wrong on this issue. I was wrong on deliverance. I didn't believe in deliverance. I was anti-deliverance. My wife, who really on paper didn't have much to be delivered from because she lived a very sanctified and protected life, but she went through deliverance years before I did and was always saying, you need deliverance. I'm like, I got my Bible. I got the Holy Spirit. I got Jesus. I don't need deliverance. And like, ain't no demon messing with me. And I dug in my heels, and she prayed me into a place of openness to it. And
our wives know.
Yeah, when we need deliverance. I mean, they're living with you all the time. Like, you don't think you got any demonic junk swirling around you, but I've been around you a minute. And so when Amy, and she never nagged me, she never bullied me or, you know, badgered me on it, but she would repeatedly say, Jeff, that's just something we can get taken care of in deliverance. That goes back to childhood trauma. That goes back to church wounds,
same
all this
here.
Stuff. Yeah. And so finally, when I did it, and here's the thing, I'm kicking myself because when I did it, I'm like, why did I resist? Why
I said
did
the
I wait?
Same thing.
And so I'm going to tell you, if you guys are anti or not convinced, just come. And even if you can't make it to the conference, what I would say is, and you listen to this podcast or watch this podcast regularly, you know I'm not lying to you. I reserve the right to be wrong from time to time, but when I'm wrong, I will own that. But I'm not lying to you. I promise you, this is my personal belief. Every Christian needs to go through deliverance. Every Christian needs to go through deliverance. And can you manage life and, you know, fight demons daily? Yeah, you can manage demons. You can manage them to a certain extent, meaning you can put up some guardrails. How about getting free of them? And don't get hung up on whether the demon's in you or whether the demon's on you. Forget the prepositions, in, on, around. Forget that stuff. I don't want any demonic entity having any activity in my life, around my life, on my life. I don't want any, because I have the authority to say, no, I didn't know that. And it's not just about bad things I did that opened doors. I did a lot of terrible junk, tons of terrible junk before I got saved. But trauma, things that happen to you, victimization, legitimate stuff, all this stuff, they will attach themselves to anything. So I hope that you'll take this encouragement. Apostle, thank you for being here. That means the world to me. I look forward to being able to serve with you as long as the Lord has you guys here in the Metro Atlanta, maybe even beyond. Thank you for being a part of Kineo Ministry Training Center. We look forward to the fall. It's going to be fabulous.
Awesome.
And you're welcome back anytime to be on Mavericks
awesome.
And Misfits. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next time. God bless.
We encourage all subscribers to Mavericks and Misfits to explore in this season the opportunities mentioned in today's episode. You can visit the ministry websites of Apostle Pagani, Kineo Ministry Training Center, and the Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville, Georgia to stay informed of this major shift in what is coming to North Georgia. Tune in next week for the next episode of Mavericks and Misfits.